Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Late night for y'all. Well, this ain't late night. It's the evening time. Hopefully, y'all got your Sunday meal in. We're going to give y'all a little snack. Get y'all focused. We are 6 days away from that mega fight. Welcome to the Sports City Food Fight. Oldie but goodie. We got it back in the kitchen, and your boy's at the helm with a face that y'all know here. Well, he has the chef gear here. But I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. I'm using keeps you moving, what are you chewing? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too.
Okay, okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with Sports City. And we got an interesting show, man. Like I said, this is an oldie but a goodie. We had this show a couple years back. Had to bring it back because, you know, guy came up to me and said, you know, Ty, we got to talk boxing, man. I know you got the swagger in boxing. I'm like, whenever you want to cook, let's get in this kitchen and cook thing. So without any further ado, I'm going to allow my co-host to get busy. Welcome in Ignacio Silva, a.k.a. Nacho. Welcome to the Food Fight. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, man, you know, I'm feeling great. Just 6 days, man. Like you said, 6 days away from the biggest fight in my generation. I was just a little too young to see the Tyson Holyfield fight, even though I did watch it to understand the enormity of it. But I understand the enormity of this fight. This is going to be amazing, and I'm just excited for everything. There's just a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of numbers associated with this fight, astronomical numbers. When you're talking the $300-400 million range, the $3 million pay-per-view buy range, you know, and then the money that these two have combined, you know, $755 million combined earnings, and then with the pay-per-view purchases, $1.6 billion, both of these guys, over 28 million purchases total. This is enormous. This is a fight that is. This is a fight that has been in the making for 5 years. People may say it's 5 years too late. I say it's been, you know, it's been, we like to cook around here. It's been roasting. You know, it's been sitting there in that crock pot for the last 5 years and getting tenderized and perfect for us. Some may say it's too late. I say it's perfect timing, but it's going to be amazing. So I'm just really excited about all the things going on, man, all the things. And to serve you the dish that I wanted to get you first, man, I just wanted to get your opinion. You know, there's one thing, there's one number, you know, and well, there's two numbers. You know, there's the 47, we know the winning streak, but there's an even bigger number, 6,847. That's the amount of days it's been since the 1996 Atlanta Summer Olympic loss to Safarim Todorov of Bulgaria. That was the last time Floyd lost. We're looking at damn near 20 years since this man has heard anyone else's name other than his be called as the victor. Now, my thing to you is that in his favor going against Pacquiao, or is that not in his favor going against Pacquiao? And what I mean by that is Pacquiao has taken losses. Pacquiao knows what it's like to be on the ground and get back up and win again. And we know this guy, he's never lost. Is he going to be able to? And we think, when I say we, I say most of us, you know, Pacquiao enthusiasts think that this guy's going to give him the test for the test of his lifetime and make him chase canvas. Do you think him not chasing canvas his entire career and being pretty much untouched, I mean, I can't be a bad thing on the sport of boxing where you're not supposed to, but do you think it could have negative effects in this fight coming up?
I'm going to honestly say it like this. I think Floyd is past that stage. I think Floyd is more or less focus on trying to seal the deal on the September date, but more or less he has to focus one fight, you know, in front of the other. And this is the one fight, and not even just saying because of Pacquiao purposes, I'm just saying because of the date of May is what, you know, cautions me about Floyd because of that ring rust. When he fights in September, he fights a better fight because he's been in the ring, you know, 4 months previous from the gap between May to September, so he's a little bit crisper. However, once he fights in September and he takes the layoff from September to May, that's all at 9 months. And you could see that 9 months of, you know, time and hanging out or whatever he's doing, but Floyd is in excellent condition. When he gets in the ring, he doesn't get his mojo till about fourth or fifth round. So that's something that Manny has to pay attention to that he needs to win the fight on. But I definitely think Floyd is past that stage in Atlanta, even though I think that's one that sticks in his craw. He wanted to more or less bring the gold home. The fight took place in Atlanta, in the United States, and the judges, even though they're international judges, they probably weren't all United States judges, clearly robbed them. Even the referee at the end of the bout thought that Floyd won. He raised Floyd's hand, and the other guy got called in as the winner. And by you making the quotable situation of him losing, just watch the 9 minutes of that Olympic fight, and you tell me if Floyd lost. And clearly, I think that's actually more or less been his stepping stone. He's built a career, and this is something that we've been able to watch the best ever. Outside of that, the way that the judges had robbed Floyd, if you guys watch the All Access situation, one of the guys that actually oversee the judges, once he found out the ruling on that, he quit altogether. The international situation, he stepped down because he knew it was a clear robbery. So I think everybody knows what happened in that fight. I think more or less somebody's going to clearly have to beat the crap out of Floyd or end up knocking him out for him to actually understand what a loss is. Clearly, since then, I think that's more or less giving him gasoline and more or less wear him out.
Okay, yeah, and you're kind of spot on right there. And like you said, yeah, I think that is his motivation, just being able that he did win that fight and getting robbed. You know, that obviously he hasn't lost since then, so that had to be some hell of a motivation. And the next dish I wanted to throw at you, we have the moving on to the next one, we have the referee of son. And the referee is Kenny Bayless. And we've seen the memes and we've seen some of the fans say that he protects Floyd Money Mayweather in fights. And I don't think that's to be true. And to some effect, he has refereed both fighters, 7 of Manny's fights and 5 of Floyd's. The one thing I see consistent with Kenny, and this may be just my opinion, he doesn't let guys fight out of holds. As soon as they kind of get tangled up the moment, he kind of wants to break them up. He doesn't kind of give them a chance. I do think he is a little bit more quick on the trigger to break people up in Floyd fights. Manny fights, he wasn't as fast, but still he's fast. So the question or the dish I have to you is, and with, you know, what I feel, and sometimes, you know, I think that Kenny does not let these guys, when they get tangled, to kind of fight their way out of it. I know when you're holding someone and you've got their arm hooked in, you got to break that up. But when you're able, when you've got one arm free and able to kind of fight your way out, I think he should let these fighters do that. That being said, do you think, and I don't want to say Floyd holds or anything like that, because, you know, and I did want to get into Saturday night's fight with Klitschko holding and stuff like that a little later on, but when we talk about the holding aspect of this match, and that is a big thing in boxing because, you know, a lot of people do it in their advantage, to their advantage in fighting. Do you think we see Floyd maybe try to hold a little more when Pacquiao runs in, try to grab him as quick as possible and get Kenny Bayless to, I don't want to say bail him out, but to, you know, break the fight up to give Floyd some time so he doesn't have to deal with those flurries as often?
You can say it how you want to, man. I mean, this is the food fight. It's kind of like no holds barred. But here goes the interesting situation that I see. Manny isn't the brawler type of boxer. Manny throws a heck of a lot of punches, and he throws a barrage of punches. I think he's more of an attacker, and because of the speed he possesses, makes it an interesting fight. Now, clutch is part of boxing at the end of the day, and when did Floyd ever continue to clutch outside of the Maidana situation? Maidana made sure that he's in close corners, to throw a looping, I don't even know what type of punch that is. I can't even call that a haymaker because it's not a haymaker. That's the same punch that he knocked my, he knocked Broner down with twice. I more or less want to call it an overhand club, you know, that he caught him. And he tried to catch Floyd with it. And once Floyd took that away from him, making sure that he had his arms pinned in and they get the separation, I mean, this is something that Floyd actually brings to the ring. He tries to take away the guy's strength and makes them box another different way. So I clearly call that a master plan at the end of the day, because then it leaves the boxer confused on what to try next. You can't come in there with plan A and not having a plan B, just hoping that you could land a clubbing right, or in this case, is going to be a straight left from Pacquiao, which actually makes it a very intense type of situation for Floyd, because the way Floyd sways, he's going to sway into that left hand. So that's why I think it's a problematic situation. But I don't want people to continue to look at and be like, oh, Bayless is the guy that actually was breaking Floyd up before Maidana could get started to throw that punch. If people are going to blame the referee for Floyd winning fights, it's laughable. It really is laughable that this is where it's coming down to, that Kenny Bayless is going to be the more or less watch guy than the two guys going to war. They still have 36 minutes of war that they have to deal with, or less if somebody ends up getting knocked out, if Floyd gets knocked out or Pac-Man gets knocked out, it could be less. But if it goes the full duration, they still got 36 minutes of fighting. It's not like Floyd is in there all, you know, 180 seconds in there just holding Pacquiao. He's going to have to go in there and fight. So I think people need to get past that, and I'm quite concerned in a very interesting situation that if somebody else doesn't clutch, they might be in trouble.
You know, and I'm in agreement with you, and I brought it up because I've been, you know, we talk about this fight as bringing the casuals out and bringing everyone out to see this fight. And in that event, we have a lot of people who are, I don't want to say misinformed, but see the majority of what's going on the Twitter sphere and the Facebook sphere and things like that. And they see the things like Kenny Bayless has helped, and they see the, you know, the 2 second, 3 second, 5 second, you know, 10 second snippets of fights where Kenny Bayless has, you can kind of see maybe if you want to draw that conclusion that he has helped Floyd out. It's complete BS to me. I don't understand it either. I'm with you. If you're looking at Kenny Bayless and not these two fighting, you're missing out on the fight. You're missing out on the bigger picture. So I want to, you know, I just want to bring this up to light because you're right. There's no reason for us to be talking about really the refs or the judges, and the fact that two judges are from Vegas, that means nothing to me. And I think what I'm getting at is we got to get this off and realize that these two guys in the ring are what we need to be focusing on. Not focusing on if it goes 12 and what these judges are going to do. Not focusing on if Kenny Bayless is going to, quote-unquote, protect Floyd Mayweather. This is a fight that we all need to watch and pay attention to these two fighters. If you're, like I said, if you're paying attention to Kenny Bayless, you're missing out, man. So don't think that, you know, don't think if you don't know too much about this, the sport and Kenny Bayless as a referee, and you just see or hear the things about the Pac fans or even the Floyd fans talking about saving Pacquiao, however you want to put it. It's just one of these things, you know, we've got to get away from. The referee, the judges, and things like that. And you brought up a good point. Getting away from these things, like I said, we got to stop talking about them because it really means no difference or anything to me. I just wanted to get a confirmation from you kind of about the fact that the ref and the judges really should have no effect on this, except for when it comes to the 12th round and then it's over. Obviously, the judges are going to pick a winner. But I don't believe that because two of them are from Vegas and Floyd's fought, you know, the majority of his career in Vegas, that all of a sudden now if it goes 12, Floyd's automatically going to win. Things like that are starting to piss me off and get on my skin a little. You know, I know boxing hasn't been the greatest of fairness sports. We've seen robberies in the past few years, but these guys are going to settle in the ring, and we're going to know who the winner is. So I just want to get that off people's mind about the judges and the refs.
Well, clearly there's been situations where judges have made fights close, and we see how things happen. I mean, we could go back to the first Maidana fight, or you could go to the Canelo fight where they actually had a draw, and Floyd clearly was taking care of business up against the other boxer. I mean, judges can make or break the situation, but there's no clear-cut edge if it goes 12 and Floyd wins. I mean, because Manny stays busy. He continues to come forward. So if Floyd isn't fighting a great tactical fight, he could be in danger regardless if he's still the champ or not. Manny's a fan favorite right now. Even though he may be fighting in America and maybe in his backyard or being in Las Vegas, he's still not the favorite right now. And this is the awkward situation about it. Him being at home, he's more or less fighting like he's away from home because there's a fair amount of Americans that don't want to see Floyd win. So regardless if they're looking at the judges could be in a situation where they want to see an impressive fight by Floyd or else they're going to pull the plug on that or, you know, if he doesn't put an interesting blow on Manny Pacquiao, it'll get the fans to boo where they'll be like, well, Manny threw an impressive punch that caught Floyd here and there in the fight. So, you know, you don't want the clutching to get involved and somebody get caught with a rabbit punch in the clutch and get knocked out and people be like, oh, well, what about the clutch punch that, let's just say, Vincent Floyd knocks him out in the clutch and Manny couldn't get free before he had it, or vice versa, however that goes. You don't want to, they make sure they take care of that situation to stay with the clutch situation and break them up to stay away from headbutts, guys getting cuts in that situation because it's unfair when somebody gets cut off of an accidental headbutt. And once people lose blood from the face, they get dizzy. Especially taking a you know, more pounding and punches to the face also. So this is something that they got to steer clear of and stay on top of, especially while both of these guys are very busy offensively and defensively from both boxers.
You know, and I couldn't have said any better. They got to stay on their job, but they got to stay out of the way. I mean, that's pretty much it's one of the hardest things to do. You know, you got to stay, you know, you're in the 21 by 20. I don't know if it's going to be 21, 22, or 20 feet, but you're in that ring with two other guys, and you got to stay out of the way but be in the way at the same time. So, yeah, these guys are going to definitely take flack, whether or not, you know, winning or losing or breaking up too early or not breaking up fast enough and letting a headbutt happen, things like that. So, yeah, you do have to pay attention. But like I said, just the overwhelming fact that just because Kenny Bayless and the two of the judges are from Vegas, that all of a sudden that gives Mayweather an advantage. It's just ludicrous. But back to the actual boxing and the ring things and what's going on in the ring with both these boxers. One of the things that you mentioned was the way that Floyd moves and how he can be set up for that straight left by Manny Pacquiao. And we all see him got that one straight right from Maidana in the second fight. So do you think Floyd is, in this fight, do you think he takes – I know we see him bulking up and talking about the knockout and things like that. Do you think that this is probably going to be, and for all intents and purposes, Mayweather's greatest defensive fight of all time? And we see kind of pretty much just counter punches, that's it, and not much offense, and kind of let Pacquiao not dictate the fight, but dictate what he wants to do, and Mayweather just, you know, overdo his prowess. Or do you see – with, you know, putting on the weight or putting on the muscle and getting a little bigger, as bigger as he looks. I mean, Floyd looks very big for 147. So do you think that he wants to be more offensive and go for this knockout? Or do you believe that, you know, with Pacquiao, like you said, with the flurries, he's not a brawler. He doesn't want to just throw. They're precise, they're accurate, and they're in flurries. Do you think Mayweather wants to do the, you know, is it all a show by putting on the muscle and doing that? Or is it, you know, he really wants to go for this knockout?
Whatever comes first for Floyd. I mean, either way, he wants to win to solidify his career, and I watched it from fight one on up. But the interesting situation about it is Floyd is going to have to show some offense. He can't just sit there and get away from Pacquiao's punches. Of course, you know the crowd is going to start to boo early because they're going to want to see Floyd show them something because this is the fight that they've been waiting for half a decade. So it's going to happen. Floyd just have to, you know, block that out and fight the fight that he wants to. Of course, this fight, I really think this fight is going to go Pacquiao's pace. This is the one thing that I do fear for Floyd because Pacquiao continues to come forward with that herky-jerky movement and try to get his shots off, where Floyd actually, where his defense gets involved. This is where I give Teddy Atlas a ton of credit because this is the one thing that I caution myself about being a Floyd fan and watching what Floyd does. Floyd falls in love with that defense because he knows that it's hard for guys to get a clear shot on him. And, yes, Floyd has gotten hit on the button. You know, Sugar Shane caught him twice in one fight. Zab caught him. Castillo caught him. I mean, there's been boxers that have caught Floyd on the button. So, but if they're not nailing him like how they want to, Floyd will fall in love with it just to see these guys continue to throw those punches and not lay a clear-cut shot. And after they miss deeply, like let's just say they, you know, throw a hook and miss deeply, that's when Floyd counters and throws an amazing shot wherever he wants to, whether it's body or head, and actually scores well to the judges. So this is something that I think Floyd needs to be aware of, and knowing that Manny's going to throw a barrage of punches and knowing that this is going to be a Manny-Pacquiao kind of fight. And I guess it, once Floyd continues to do that consistently, and Floyd is taking care of business, Manny will have to fight a difficult fight backing up, and Manny has never backed up. Even when losing or even when getting knocked down or knocked out, he's never backed up. So this is something that I'm looking forward to in Floyd. If he can actually fight the right fight, I know nothing's perfect, even though his record is right now, but if he fights the right fight, this could actually put Manny on the defense, and this could be shocking on either way, whether Manny comes at him and lands that straight left that he wants to land, or if Floyd continues to catch him, because we all know Manny's defense isn't that great also.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you made up, you know, Manny's defense is a great point. I do believe that Mayweather, like you said, this is going to be Pacquiao's style of fight, and I think Mayweather is not boisterous. He's not, you know, just pumping his chest and putting on the muscle to be defensive this entire fight. I think he wants what he said after the first Maidana fight. I give the fans what they want. The fans want to see a fight. I think he feels, obviously, 47-0, he feels like no one can touch him. And I think now he feels he can offensively handle Pacquiao. I don't know, you know, you could just hear it the way he's talking in the interviews and how confident he is in himself as a boxer and a defensive whiz. And I think he wants to prove to everyone that not only is he one of the best defensive fighters, but he can also still knock people out. You know, the Ortiz knockout wasn't just a cheap shot. It was the fact that he hit him there. You know, he hit him perfectly, and it was over. The Hatton one, he wants to bring back, you know, that. And I think this is what he wants to prove. I think, like you said, it's the one thing that Mayweather has to worry about, because when you want to fight, you know, he's, like you said, he's done it to most boxers. He's made them do what they wanted, and then it's really what he wanted. I don't know if that makes any sense, but he kind of just he makes them think. And I think De La Hoya said it in the Legends Talk yesterday or the day before when I watched it. De La Hoya said the first six rounds felt easy. It felt like, you know, he was able to stick with them. And then it wasn't until the latter six that he was like, whoa, this is, I can't even stick with this guy anymore. And I think that's what Floyd does to everyone. And he lets you believe in those first six rounds while he's filling you out that you can actually do something, because you're going to get a punch in or two. You're going to get something in there, and you're going to believe in yourself. And then those last six, he just totally decimates you and destroys your whole will. So, but I think he's going to get away from that. I don't think the first six rounds are him filling out Pacquiao. I really think he's just going to dictate the fight he wants to, and not be that defensive fighter that everyone, you know, that everyone says he is, which he is. But I don't think he wants to. It's hard for me to say that this guy, with all, like I said, the muscle he's putting on, the way he's talking, the knockout talk, the aggressive talk, the, you know, I'm a great defensive fighter, but I also got offense, things like that. I just really think he wants to prove that he could box with this guy and not necessarily get out of the way and hit him back, but actually trade with him and make Pacquiao miss at the same time. So, but again, like you said, that's dangerous, because Pacquiao's got that slickness, that power. And like you said, when he swerves to that side, it's going to be wide open for that left from Manny. And if Manny can be quick, and we heard it with the interviews of the people that fought Manny, he's got those really stocky legs, and he can bounce real quick. He gets that jump across the ring. It's almost Superman punch-like, but it's not as, you know, jump to me. It's more of a jump forward. It's just really quick, and he gets from, you know, because he's so short, he doesn't feel like he's close to you, and then in one step, he's right in your grill, and he's punching you with something. And I do feel like that's the scary thing for Floyd. If he wants to end up trying to trade with him, I think he might get caught. So, but I do believe Floyd is trying to make this a not necessarily a brawl, but a trading of punches, and he wants to prove that not only can he land punches, but he can move out of the way of who people are saying his biggest test to date. On to, you know, more of the in-ring and the mentality, not so much as the fighting. And you mentioned this earlier about the crowd booing and the crowd being against Mayweather. And we know Mayweather. He loves being the bad guy. He loves being that a-hole, that jerk, so to speak. And he doesn't mind that because he's still getting paid at the end of the day. In the past few fights, we hear Floyd say things like, I do what the fans want. I want to make the fans happy and things like that. Do you think that if the fans start to boo, say he does start this fight off in the first couple rounds defensively and they start to boo the fight and they think it's going slow, do you think that changes him mentally or not at all? And like I said, this is 48 for Floyd and he hasn't lost one, and I don't think anything's changed him. But this being a fight that the fans wanted, do you think that he wants to, play to the fans, but give the fans what they want and make this a tradable fight and not so much him being defensive the whole fight? And do you think that'll get to him if they boo? Sorry.
Honestly, do you really – asking me that question, what do you honestly think I'm going to say? Honestly.
Not a chance in hell.
Right. I mean, he's fought in over 47 fights, and do you think he's worried about anybody in that crowd if they start booing and if he's at bay and not letting Pacquiao get those shots off like he wants to, and he's taking care of the fight and getting his shots off? Listen, I'm not caring if I'm in Floyd's shoes. If I'm winning the fight, fighting my type of fight and they're booing, I don't care. At the end of the day, you all go home. You're the same still people that go home and still talk junk. Whether you're writing on a blog page or you're sending them emails, so on and so forth, the man's going to live to see another day. I mean, people are going to be at the edge of their seat or not. They're up to paying from $10,000 as a low number to $100,000+ to sit ringside. You got to put your money into this. He is not worried about that by any means. He's going to fight his fight to try and win this. It's not like he's going to sit up there and try to lose on purpose because, they just think that he needs to go to war, stay in the pocket, which Floyd said he wants to do. Floyd said he wants to be in the pocket and also fight a stellar game on the outside too. So this is something that Floyd just has to block that out if that is something that is getting to him or if it's getting to Manny, either or. They can't go into dangerous waters by any means. And the one thing about it for Manny is Manny don't care what type of water it is. He's going to continue to come forward and bring the fight. But if Floyd is taking care of business, this could actually hurt Manny because that's what ended up hurting him against Marquez, is that he continued to come forward. And I think it was a trade that Manny didn't land that right. He tried to throw a straight right that came underneath Marquez. Marquez got out of the way of it clean and threw one of the sharpest right hooks in boxing and nailed Manny. So believe me, Floyd said it epically. He said losing is on his mind to stay away from that. You know what I'm saying? So, and you can't stay away from a knockout regardless of the guy hits you on the chin and your legs ain't with you, so be it. I mean, either if it's on Floyd's portion or Manny's portion, they're done. But Manny's been in this situation before. So if he's not on his P's and Q's, Floyd hit that button again. And it's been a lot of boxers that have seen that. And the one guy that I clearly think of when they get hit on a button like that, and I'm sorry to pick on them like that, is Roy Jones Jr. Once Tarver found that button, Tarver got to it, then Glenn Johnson got to it, and it was like everybody kept hitting on it. So, and knowing Floyd got the speed to get there too, way more speed than Marquez, people need to be concerned about Floyd. A lot of people are more concerned about Manny Pacquiao, which I understand that the barrage of punches and the speed that he throws in this fight is a strong question toward Floyd, but y'all are acting like this dude isn't unbeaten. Y'all are acting like this guy has not dominated boxing since 96. Y'all are acting like he is still not the pound-for-pound boxer that they still rank. Ring Magazine, however you want to look at it, is Floyd Mayweather at the end of the day. They won't give him the consideration because this is the fight that they've been egging on for 5 years. So Floyd is going to have to be careful. He definitely has to be careful because Manny can land that punch, but Manny has to be careful just as well.
And you know what? You're right. When it comes to the booze, I don't think he's going to obviously change. But I think Floyd's so, and I hate to use the word narcissistic, but I think the fact that if he feels in round 6 or 7 that he's up 4 or 5 rounds and the crowd's booing and he, in his mind feels that Pacquiao can't touch him, I think he'll start to be more aggressive. I do think Mayweather wants to, I don't want to say please the fans because that's not been his M.O. His M.O. is to make the money and do what he wants. But I believe this is the fight because he made it in essence, it is because he wanted to please the fans. Whether or not he wanted this fight, whether or not he believes Pacquiao is on his level or whatever, this fight, to me, in my opinion, was made by the fans. The continual, you know, crap talking to Mayweather, it's going to get to you, especially if it's the one guy that you haven't fought that everyone says you have to and should. So I think that, no, in the grand scheme of things, the boos may not get to him. They're not going to make him change the style of his fight. But like I said, if he feels he's confident enough that he's 5-6 rounds up in the 6th or 7th round and he wants to be more aggressive because he feels like, you know, he's not giving the fans what they want because of the boos or the quietness of the crowd or whatever. You know, he keeps mentioning, like I said, after fights, I want to give the fans what they want. So I do feel that if in his mind he is, you know, winning the fight and it gets to that point, he'll let loose and try to trade with him, which I don't think is a good idea. But I think that he's so confident, and why wouldn't you be? Like I said, like you and I say all the time, with the zero at the end, you have to be so confident. So I just think that the confidence might be a bad thing. It might set him up for, you know, the potential to get knocked out or knocked down a couple times. So I think that might, you know, that's something he doesn't want to, he shouldn't do, but I think that's something he might just, you know, something he might not be able to help just because he wants to give the fans what he wants. And like I said, if he's dominating for 5 or 6 rounds defensively and then, you know, he feels like he's up, there's no telling what he could do. He, you know, he might just bounce around and you know, try to trade with the guy. So I just think that Floyd Mayweather's mentality of the past few fights is to give the fans what they want. And I feel that, like you said, if he's comfortable enough and he's dominating the fight, I think he'll try to give them what they want.
In the words of Roger Mayweather, most people don't know crap about boxing. Most of them don't know crap about boxing. And that ain't the way that Roger said it, but I'm doing this for Sports City. Right. I'm doing this for Sports City. So every one of them, whether they're filling that 10,000 populated arena down there at MGM, however they're filling it, they don't know more than the Mayweather family. They don't know more than Pacquiao's Corner and Freddie Roach. Like, regardless of what they're booing about or want to see a gladiator type of fight, believe me, just as much as Floyd don't want to lose that fight, Manny Pacquiao definitely don't want to lose that fight. Because, look, I'm going to look at it from Manny's perspective. Manny loses that fight, even though he don't really have nothing to lose. Manny ends up with 6 losses and 2 draws on that illustrious career that everybody's in love with, just like, you know, Floyd's camp is too in love with his situation. But I think that could be I want to look at it from Manny's perspective. How does he rebuild himself after losing a couple of fights in his last 3 or 4 years? Let's be honest. I mean, I wasn't in the arena, but I was in MGM Grand when Pacquiao got knocked out. That's every December. I'm in Vegas. And that was that December 8th. I still remember clear as day. We were in the sport book watching it go down, and I've never seen so many, and I hate to sound like I'm going at a race, but I am. I've never seen so many Filipino people walk out of a door so pissed off, throwing papers, cups, napkins, whatever they had to throw around, that they did not want to see Manny like that. So believe me, Manny don't want to let them people down either, because if people understand the amount of people that are coming to Vegas to watch the fight, the prices on rooms out there, like, they ain't coming there to see Manny lose. Manny don't want to let these people down, let alone he's a spokesman for the country. He's like one of the people in Congress out there. So he doesn't have room to let these people down, even though this is a big fight, and it ain't like Floyd Mayweather's a pushover. And he also just beat Chris Algieri, another unbeaten boxer, too. So everything is in both of these guys' corner. There's so much hype and draw around this fight that every one of them, they're going to flinch at every move. I mean, the nerves are going to be here. Believe me, somebody's going to get caught, and everybody's predicting Floyd gets caught. But what if Manny gets caught? What if he's the one that's in trouble? Like they have to understand what type of fight this is. Both of these guys know what's at stake right now.
You're right, and you hit it on the head. You know, most people don't know crap about boxing, and you're right. These guys, these fighters are just, man, you're right. I can't put it in any better words than you could. And I know we've touched a lot, like, the past half hour on Mayweather Pacquiao, and that's the big fight. And I know we got another show coming up next week, so I don't want to get too much into, you know, predictions or, you know, how they should win, how they should fight. But I did want to get into a fight from last night. If you will entertain me, Vladimir Klitschko, Bye-Bye Jennings. Bye-Bye Jennings has only been boxing for 6 years. A very inexperienced fighter. In my opinion, last night, he beat Vladimir Klitschko. Klitschko's punches, and I don't want to sound like this is the boxing world screwing another boxer again, but it felt to me like Klitschko was just throwing punches into a guard and not breaking that guard at all, getting through the gloves or anything, and they were counting those as punches. His jabs, his straights, they were not even barely breaking the guard of Brian Jennings, and they were counting them as punches. I believe it was 144 to 109, just total punches to the head, I believe, or something. It's just ridiculous how many they counted for Vladimir. And I don't, like I said, I don't like to think that this sport is screwing people over or things like that, but we've seen it, and it's clear as day. I don't know if you watched the fight. I don't know if you've got an opinion on it, but I feel right now Dante Wilder should have a heavyweight title, and Bye-Bye Jennings and American should have all the titles right now, because I don't see Vladimir winning last night. I saw Vladimir living off of his name and just keeping that right hand cocked there for several rounds there in the middle. I don't think he threw it more than six times in the middle rounds there. In my opinion, it was straight jabs and maybe throwing one or two. It was really sad the way they just handed this to me, the way they handed it. And it was a 118 and I think a 116 and a 116. It's atrocious how they treated Brian. But I think Brian, they definitely disregarded the tremendous and enormous body shots he was landing on Vladimir to the body. Every time Vlad would hold his head, he would get four or five in a flurry to the body. And I don't think they were counting those as, you know, as much as they should have, because if the bigger guy is holding your head down and all you could do is punch to the body, then why not count that? Because he's able to do that. And so, in my personal opinion, Bryant was robbed last night. I watched all 12 rounds. I did not see Vladimir win more than three, maybe the first two and nine. But I did not see him win more than three, in my opinion. I felt like Bryant was the aggressor. He was moving around. The only thing I could say that you would not like about Bryant was when he made him miss, instead of walking forward, he kind of bounced out into the left or to the right, kind of bounced back to stay away from that right hook. But how can you blame him when the guy knocked out everyone? So I think that, you know, he was protecting himself. Then he would get right back in there. And I think that's what the refs or the judges looked at. And I didn't like that, because he was just trying not to get hit and then getting in there and hitting him. And that's this sport in a nutshell. And he really didn't get hit as much as the CompuBox numbers would lead you believe, especially they're saying he got punched, I think, 90 times in the face by Vladimir Klitschko, and that man's face looked as good as it did at the beginning of the fight. And I don't care who you are, if you get punched that many times by Vladimir, you're going to have some wealth, you're going to have something, and he didn't. It's a tragedy. It's an atrocity. It's making me mad sitting here to continue to talk about it. I hope you watched it, and I hope, you know, you could shed some light, and I'm totally wrong about this, but I really think Brian got screwed last night.
Let me eat, too. I want to eat with you. He cooking for us. He's cooking. It's about time I get to sit down with him and have a meal with him. Now, the interesting thing about this fight is he's young in his tenure of boxing, so I think that's one thing that more or less put this in front of the judges, that they don't want a young buck coming into the ring taking care of Klitschko because he's fighting an excellent fight. Because they say you have to beat the champ, and they're actually looking for beating him to a pulp or knocking him out. You know what I'm saying? And that's clearly what the mega fight looks like they're trying to breed up to. But now here's the situation with Klitschko. Klitschko is the cash cow right now in heavyweight boxing. If Klitschko loses that fight, then they look to Wilder and Jennings to actually hold it down in America, while globally Klitschko has been able to carry boxing. Whether it's Floyd or not, he's been able to carry boxing on top of what Floyd has been able to create. So one thing about Klitschko, I'm going to say this, rest in peace to Emmanuel Stewart. He is missing Emmanuel Stewart bad, and I know Emmanuel Stewart would tell him to stay on something that's working, whatever it is that Emmanuel ends up seeing, and that's what Klitschko actually finishes him. And I think fight by fight that goes by, where Klitschko actually gets long in the tooth fighting these guys and going longer and longer, you could tell that he's missing the important piece. This is almost similar to a guy that I loved out of the ring and out of the ring, Mike Tyson. Once Custom Model passed away, you've seen Mike start to go longer and longer in his fight instead of getting rid of these guys. These guys are hanging in and still have a shot to fight these fights. So this is a situation where Klitschko doesn't have Stewart in that corner, and by all means, with them having an even keel fight, even if it's a tie, it's going to go to the champ. So that's more or less how I see it with the Klitschko situation. Jennings actually got to the body after the sixth round. Jennings actually, the momentum went to Jennings' side. He was actually landing punches, more or less getting to the body, but he couldn't really get to the face like he wore, or excuse me, the hand like he wanted to, and he couldn't score that way. So I think that's more or less what the judges were focused on. If he's not hitting him in the face or flush on the chin, then the judges are clearly going to go with what they see as Klitschko being more offensive, having Jennings up against the ropes, even though Klitschko loves to fight off of that left jab and throw a mean right, whether it's a straight right or a hook or an uppercut. He clearly was trying to do that, but he wasn't successful in landing it, and I think that was just enough to sway the judges in Klitschko's way. Where I agree, and I understand where you're coming from in this fight with him and Jennings, and I feel bad because Jennings is a young guy, and he actually gets that loss in his loss column. I hate to say this, boxing, give them to a rematch. And he came over to New York City to fight in the Garden, even though I know Jennings is what, an hour and change away from Philly. Still, yet it's close to being in Jennings' backyard. They can go somewhere neutral. They don't have to go over to Germany or Ukraine or wherever, possibly close to his home out there in another country. They can fight somewhere neutral and fight and do this all over again, because clearly a lot of people that have watched the fight and in the sport of boxing clearly feel like this could have went Jennings' way, clearly could have went his way.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people. I think it clearly did go his way. Like I said, I'm one of those boxing guys that loves the body. I love the fact that if you can get in there and get to the body and stop him. And what really got me and really made me say Klitschko lost was when they asked Klitschko, because I believe in the middle of the fight they were questioning whether he hurt his hand or not, because he was not throwing that right very – he was throwing it very little. So they asked him after the fight, hey, did you hurt your hand? What was wrong with it? Response was, I didn't hurt my hand. My hand's fine. But in order to throw it, I have to hit something. And I was not able to hit him. It was hard for me to get in there and throw the punch. So Klitschko wasn't able to hit him because Jennings was, too good. But yet, they have him hitting him in the head so many times. And like I said, they were counting a lot of those that didn't make it through the guard as landed punches. And when you watch the CompuBox and they bring up the numbers and they say total punches, I forget which round it is, and I got to record it and I'll post it online. He throws a fury of punches, and they count almost every single one, and I think only one or two landed. The rest didn't get through the guard, and they counted every single one. The ticker kept rising and kept rising and kept rising with every throw. So, I hate to say it, buying out people or anything like that, because I hate to think about this in this sport. But what's happened in the recent times, the Molina Garcia fight, or the Molina fight, Garcia's last couple fights, and things like that, just it's starting to irritate me. I love this sport. Hopefully, these next few weeks we've got going on with Mayweather and Gennady Golovkin and Canelo, we won't have to worry about, people getting screwed, and we'll see great fights and great judges and great refereeing. But last night was a travesty to the sport, and I understand where you're coming from. I get it. You don't want the young guy coming in and taking the title from a guy who's, like you said, he's been, dominating the world and giving boxing a name in the world. But winning is winning, and this is to me, you gotta award someone for doing what they've done, and I think last night it felt to me like they just were, Klitschko is Klitschko, so he wins. And I don't even think they watched the fight, and it's sad to say that, but I don't think the judges watched the fight at all. Especially when you've got a judge out there putting 118, you didn't watch not one lick of that fight. All you saw was Klitschko's name, and you just kept giving him rounds. And Letterman, oh my God, Letterman, you're a piece. You're a piece, man. You've got Klitschko winning the first six rounds, and then the round where they took the point away, I think it was the eighth, ninth, or tenth round, they took the point away for Klitschko holding. He gave that a 9-9 round because he thought Klitschko won. Just Letterman, you need to stop. just please stop having the scorecard. Just give us the rundown of who's going to box next week and whatever you think is important. But stop doing scorecards, because your scorecards are just horrendous. It's just ridiculous what he was scoring last night. And so I understand where you're coming from. You don't want that new guy, 6-year tenure, very young, very inexperienced, and came in and put the paws on him and put the business to Klitschko. Yes, they should get a rematch, but Klitschko won't give him one because he doesn't want to lose. Because if they do it on a neutral site, he will lose the next fight. And I think Brian Jennings, watching that fight, Klitschko did hit him. And every time Klitschko hit him, Brian put his hands down and said, "That's all you got," and walked forward. Nothing that Klitschko threw at Brian hurt him yesterday. And that's what the overwhelming thing to me got. Every time he punched him in the face, Brian was like, "That's all you got now? That's all you got left? Then that's it. It's over, man. You ain't messing with me." Walk forward, hit him to the body, and block some shots. So it's really irritating, man, that these guys really stole one from somebody. And like you said, it hurts him to get that L, but it's a learning experience. And bye-bye Jennings, that's going to be a name to be on the lookout for. Hopefully this doesn't hurt him mentally, hurt the way he trains or anything, doesn't, you know, sway him in the bad way of this sport. I hope he continues to grow as a boxer and take on some good competition and win some more belts, and then hopefully he'll get a rematch. If not, he'll get that title shot against Deontay Wilder, which I think will be a great fight. I think you won. A lot of people think you won. I hope, you know, if he's listening to this, I hope he can hear it, because I really do feel like you got robbed and it was not even close.
Now, here's the interesting thing that I want you to look at it like this. Floyd made the move to go to Showtime, right? Mm-hmm. Who is the showcase boxer for HBO? Klitschko would be the guy. So, like I said, unless somebody knocks him out or beats him to a pulp, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. It's just because they need that face. You can see these guys, all of them that are up there on the board, including the more important one out of them all, Jim Lampley. None of these guys want, you know, to see boxing go down on their network, which it has since Floyd has left. And you've seen Lampley go from a touch of gray to a full head of gray hair because the boxing has left that arena and everybody's in Showtime. You got Broner, you got Maidana, now you got Floyd over here. All of the better names in boxing are with Showtime right now. So with Klitschko doing his thing and withstanding as much as he could from Jennings, I mean, until Klitschko says, "Well, this is going to be my last year fighting," they're going to keep that cow, you know, pushing milk out to get everybody to draw toward a Klitschko fight, because they're going to be waiting for Klitschko to lose also, too. That's the same thing that's swirling around Floyd Mayweather. I mean, even though Klitschko has three losses, he hasn't lost since Corey Sanders. Since Corey Sanders knocked him out, that was the last time he lost. So, clearly, you know, they're going to keep that going on it unless, let's just say, for instance, Jennings won the fight, Jennings loses his next fight. I mean, then you got Klitschko that's kind of on the way out of boxing. You got Jennings, who's a young guy that already has another loss, and Deontay Wilder, I mean, his consistency, I mean, he can knock people out with one punch, but he has to show a consistent fight because his last fight, it was pretty questionable. Even though he won the fight, it was a questionable fight. So I do want to see Deontay actually end up fighting Klitschko. I don't know why they won't make it happen, or they don't put the big boxers in front of Klitschko. They always put the boxers in front of Klitschko that are smaller or shorter or not, you know, on a toe-to-toe basis. So it's easier for him to throw his punches downward instead of these guys trying to punch for the high heavens to get to a 6'6" beast of a boxer in the ring. Andy's a doctor, so he's tactical on what he's going to do and take away your strengths. And he's an ox himself, cut to the teeth. So these guys are going to have to box clearly. I'd rather see Wilder and Klitschko before I see Wilder and Jennings. I'd rather see that.
No, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I would definitely love to see Wilder and Klitschko over that. But I think, you know, the way Jennings, the performance he put on last night, I would hope that he continues to – that's what I'm saying. I hope this doesn't mentally weaken him and make him, you know, not necessarily hate the sport, but deter from the sport and not put all of his heart and soul into it anymore. I really hope he can just get past this and, like I said, get another bout or two, because I really think he can give – he can, like I said, he beat Klitschko last night. He can do it again. And I think he can give Deontay Wilder all he can handle. So I don't, you know, don't get me wrong. I would rather see those two guys with their right cock and just, you know, jabbing and waiting for that hook, that right to come out. That would be an amazing fight to me, Wilder and Klitschko. That would be awesome. It would be, you know, we would all be on the edge of our seats waiting for the knockout in that one. So that would be something, you know, interesting and something fun to get into. So I definitely would like to see that. But, you know, this last night really upset me. And like you said, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you at all in any way, shape, or form that Klitschko hitched to the HBO wagon and things like that. But in my opinion, after last night, they need to unhitch it from him and hitch it to Triple G and just ride that out until the waves fall off. Because last night, if last night is any indication about Klitschko's career, you hit it on the head. RIP to his trainer, but without him, it's longer and longer. And I think the only thing that helped Klitschko last night was he didn't try to out-throw the guy in the first few rounds. I think if he would have tried to knock him out in the first couple rounds, we would have seen a knockout. I think Klitschko definitely paced himself really well to withstand the fight. Because we know about the time the last fight when he just pretty much fell out, throwing 90 punches per round in the first few rounds and just tired himself out, Klitschko did. So I think he's learned from that, but like I said, he almost just, survived last night, and that's how he won. He survived and won with his last name. And like you said, he just won because they got to hitch it to that wagon. And he's globally, not necessarily in America, but globally boxing heavyweight. You're thinking of Klitschko or the Klitschko brothers. So, yeah, I'm not against you on that. I'm just really distraught at how boxing did me last night.
Yeah, and until Klitschko actually bows out, I mean, Floyd has this fight coming Saturday, and then his next fight in September, you're losing the biggest name in boxing right now. He's going to have to carry that until he bows out, and then it's going to be more or less Golovkin, Ward, Garcia. I mean, it's a handful of guys that I can think could carry boxing outside of these guys while they get ready to hang him up. And it's terrible that I'm getting this old, that I've seen the start of Klitschko's career, I've seen the start of Floyd's career, and watching them be close toward the end. So this is getting bad for me perspective-wise, but we have to look to the boxers of tomorrow, and they have to save boxing one way or another for the style of fight, for the style that these boxers have at the end of the day, and keeping the parity going on, more than ever, because they don't want to, and I know why they're keeping the situation separate from Wilder and Klitschko. They don't want to see Wilder end up taking Klitschko's head off, and then nobody want to fight Deontay. Because let's be honest, people they don't want to take that fight already. They really don't want to take that fight. So picture him knocking out Klitschko, and Klitschko been manhandling everybody in boxing. So that'll be pretty crazy in itself to see if that fight does go down. I really am pushing for that. If it'll start right here and right today on Sports City with me making a chanter, the chant or the banter about that fight going down, make it happen. Make it happen. But like I said, they're waiting to Klitschko gets ready to hang him up, and then they'll probably put that fight together. If not, it'll be a shame to see Klitschko walk away from that, the sport of boxing, and not being able to fight Deontay while he's healthier than Ox and swings just like an Ox too. So we'll see if boxing actually gets that put together.
And you know what? All those names you mentioned, and there's one name, and he's not a boxer, that I think is going to turn the tide for this boxing. That's Al Haymon. I really do think that what he's done with the TV and bringing boxing to almost the worldwide of sports type of day again. I mean, we're going to have it on CBS, on NBC, on ESPN, on ABC, on Spike TV, and Top Rank also did something with True TV. So we've got, all these channels with CBS and NBC and ABC, along with the cable networks, putting boxing in prime time for us. So then the fact that, like I said, when boxing in the prime time came out, we had big name fights. We had Broner and we had Guerrero. So I think that's what's going to be happening. And you're right. Those two, Klitschko and Wilder, need to fight. Golovkin needs to fight. Ward and things like that need to happen in this in boxing. And those need to happen on the networks. Those don't need to be pay-per-view fights, in my opinion. Because if you can put those on an NBC in prime time, you're going to bring this sport to the forefront again, and it's going to be one of the biggest in this country as it is in the world, especially as it is in England. England loves boxing so much, and it's so amazing to watch them and support in support of the sport of boxing. It's just amazing. We're paying $100 to watch this fight. I think they're paying $20, $30 American dollars to watch this fight. That's how much they love it. It's very cheaper than us. They just love the fight and everything. They love boxing in general. So we have to, you know, I think once these TV programs come out and we've got primetime boxing, we got primetime names, we got big fights, we got knockouts in primetime on regular TV, and we don't got to pay $50, $60, $70, $80, $90, $100 to watch them. This sport is going to start getting bigger again, and it's going to be amazing. And you named off some names and you rattled them off, and there are so many more of these young guys because of Mayweather, because of Ward, because of, you know, fighters like that who not necessarily pick and choose but don't want to fight someone with no name and not get a payday. I think that now with these guys leaving, we're going to see these fights be made where we get to see people fight each other that we want, because there's just going to be no one else big name that they want to fight. So they have to make a name with someone. So, we definitely, after the Mayweather fight, you know, like I said, the Golovkin fight, the Canelo Kirkland fight, there's these fights that are be coming on that are going to be amazing to watch, and especially when we can get these on network television, on regular television, like I said, ABC, NBC, CBS. Sky's the limit now. I think the sky's the limit. I think this is going to be the trend, and no better timing for, you know, Al Heyman to come out with, you know, all these entities on networks than, you know, right now. He's got the biggest fight. He's got casuals watching. He's got the guys who don't know anything about anything, but they know Floyd and they know Pacquiao watching. So this is definitely going to be fun. This boxing is going to be fun. I said last night really, you know, pissed me off and made me upset, but I can look at the grand scheme and the bigger picture of this sport and what's to come, even after September, even into next year. It's going to be amazing.
Okay, well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what's to come, but still yet, with the fight that they have left in, by class, like I said, I think more or less, and I said this, and this is just the fan in me. That's right, the fan in me in boxing. I said, who carries the torch for me after Floyd is done in September, I'm going to go to Golovkin. Just because they're setting up, well, I hope they could put the Golovkin-Cotto fight together or a Golovkin-Ward fight together, because somebody's going to end up going home laid out or asking the doctor where they are. So those are going to be the guys that can carry the fight. Now, obviously, in welterweight, where Floyd lays, where Pacquiao lays, I mean, Pacquiao is going to end up being, I think, 37 this year. Floyd is 38 this year. You got these guys getting older. Amir Khan is one of the names to look at. Like I said, Cal Brook also. Thurman is another name to look at in welterweight boxing also. I mean, they have names there, but they are the blockbuster. Like, this is, like, and that was something I wanted to answer earlier, too. You said in your lifetime or your generation, this is the biggest fight of all time. Regardless if the names were bigger back in the 70s with Frazier and Ali, no fight has generated close to $500 million. Or at the end all, it will be $500 million in 36 minutes of work. This is the biggest fight ever.
You're right, man. You put it in those, $500 million. I mean, these guys combined, like I said earlier, 1.6. They're about to make a third of that in one fight together.
This is a clear cut situation. Like, for me and you, the way that we work every day, boss, I tell, put me in the ring for $87 million or $180 million, knock me out, send me back to Connecticut. I'll show you how to count this. I'll show you. Y'all ain't gotta be worried about me on May 3rd. Like for real, y'all would be mad that I took the fall. But that's a whole other situation, man. Like I said, this is the biggest fight that we've ever seen, and of course, us looking at it like that's simple. But these guys have more, you know, value to it than just the money. Even though I think more or less Manny was looking for a big payout boxing day, and it's come to him. People, just get your popcorn ready. That's the best way I could look at it.
And you're right, man. And not too much to go into, you know, why Manny didn't take the fight earlier or why Floyd didn't take the fight earlier. I believe it was both of their parts. And this is the grand scheme, and this is me being the conspiracy theorist in me in this sport. I believe 5 years ago they said, you know, right now if we do it, we could possibly make $150 million, $200 million. But I bet you if we drag this out and we make it, man, we could probably make $1 billion. We could probably make $750 million. You know, we could probably just, you know, break the bank with it. So I believe all the conjecture, all the, you know, blood testing, all the I signed it, he didn't sign it, all the let's wait, I want to be the guy to announce it. That was all just, you know, putting it off and putting it off so they can both get the biggest payday of their lives. I think both of these guys have wanted to fight each other for the longest time. I think the Marquez knockout definitely hindered everything. I think if not Marquez knocking him out, we might have seen this fight right after that fight. I think that was the only thing in ring, out of their control, meaning Manny and Floyd's control, that really hindered this fight, making it last longer. Because I do believe that if Manny goes in and handles Marquez in that fourth fight, the immediate fight after that is Floyd and Mayweather, Floyd and Manny. I believe that to be true. But I think that's the only kink in anything that they were putting together and the plan they were putting together. And I think that's what made it a little longer than they had anticipated. But in the end, it paid off. Like you said, $500 million to 36 minutes. I think it paid off in the end. And, again, that's probably the conspiracy theorist in me, not wanting to believe that these guys, you know, didn't want to fight each other for 5 years, either one. I just think that it all came down to dollar bills, y'all. And they just wanted to make the most they can, and they have. And I think they any longer, and they wouldn't have. And I think this is just perfect timing. And like you said, biggest fight of our lifetime and of anyone's lifetime. I think you're correct on that, too. Just how much and how big and how grand this is. And I said it earlier, 60 seconds. I mean, granted, it was only 500 tickets. And we're talking $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for one ticket. And they're gone in 60 seconds. That shows you how much this fight is. That shows you how big this fight is. So in to agree with you, biggest fight of our lifetime, yes. And you know, and like I said, the conspiracy theorist in me, I don't believe either guy didn't want to fight each other back then. I believe either guy was just trying to make sure that it was the biggest payday that they'd ever seen in their lifetime, and they have succeeded.
Right, right. With that being said, I mean, both of them could retire right after this fight. Floyd could lose and walk away from boxing and be done. He's already worth, what, I think four or five. I think he's worth $400 million right now. And he's going to, no matter how it pans out, if nobody buys the fight or, you know, doesn't attend even though the tickets are already sold, but just outside of that, he's going to make $180 million. He's going to be sitting on $580 million. He's satisfied. He's good. Like, so everything is flowing in the court of both these guys. And knowing that Manny has never made this type of money in a fight ever, $87 million is real cute to take to the Philippines, or if he's going to be in America and party like a rock star, regardless of the situation. So the whoever, the money has to be right for these guys to end up losing, regardless of who it is. If Floyd loses, $180 million is cute, and if Manny loses, $87 million ain't a bad payday and 36 minutes or less of work at the end of the day. And like I said, I know they're not looking at the money jar; they're looking to upset boxing, however it may be. If Manny takes out Mayweather, that's an upset. If Mayweather takes out Manny, that's going to be an extreme upset to a lot of people that don't want to see Floyd continue on with the streak that he has going from 96 until now.
Till infinity. That's actually 93. But the thing that really just excites me about this is that these guys are still, and regardless of what anyone says about it, these guys are still in peak top performance. Now, you know, you could talk about Manny being slept and whatever have you. These guys right now, you know, you could say it's 5 years too late. They're still in the prime of their careers, I should say. And like you said, they could retire now, but if they wanted to, they could still fight up until 40, both of them. I do believe they could, even into their 40s, just the way that they take care of themselves. Like you said, Floyd walks around at that weight all the time, and so does Manny. They're both just, you know, peak physical specimens. So I'm definitely excited about it. So, and yes, they could retire after this. We all know Floyd's got the one in September. But the possibility of a rematch and the possibility of it going three fights to get a 1-1, the possibility of that just makes it even more, you know, that much more exciting for me. Even though we're trying to get these guys out so we can get the young guys in, I think if we get a trilogy with the young guys in the sports networks, man, we could see this sport really take off.
Especially, and this is the worst part, especially if Floyd loses. Because if Floyd loses, there's the rematch clause for his last fight ever. Or just like I heard on another network, if he gets robbed, Floyd may walk away from the sport if they rob him. So that's something that people need to pay attention to if the judges aren't on their stuff. But if so, just think if he end up losing and that rematch clause fight is there, I don't know how many people would buy into the fight after Floyd lost, comparable to what's potentially in front of everybody right here on May 2nd, which is only 6 days away. I doubt if the money will be there if Floyd doesn't have a zero in that loss column. But if he wins and they get a rematch to do a Pacquiao Part 2, let's just say it's a close fight. Floyd wins and they have a Mayweather-Pacquiao Part 2 in September. Just imagine the numbers.
Yeah, especially if it's something to the effect of an Algeri-Ruslan type of fight where Pacquiao gets a quick knockdown in the first round. And he gets one or two quick knockdowns in the first round. And then from then on out, it's Floyd dominating. Well, not necessarily dominating, but staying out of the way and doing what Algeri kind of did to Ruslan, which was, you know, move and hit him. If that happens, and then they end up giving Manny the fight just because of the two knockdowns and because, you know, he knocked Floyd down and Floyd had never been knocked down before, that right there is a robbery in my eyes. So that would be something I could see Floyd walking away from. But, you know, I don't think they're going to go 12 and rob Floyd if it goes 12 and he doesn't get knocked down once. But like I said, I think if he does get knocked down early, like round one, round two, not a knockout, but just a knockdown, he gets up and he goes to, you know, defeat Pacquiao, but they give him the fight anyway. I wouldn't blame Mayweather from walking away from that because that's just crazy.
Right, and that's the way his career started, leaving it at the hands of judges, and he having nothing to do about it, but being able to fight his fight, and everybody across the board can say that he won, but three people saw it differently. So he has work to do, too. His work is cut out for him, too, to actually jump in there and you know, have to deal with the onslaught that Manny's going to bring forward and hopefully neutralize it and fight his type of fight, which is going to be tough at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we talked a lot about the fighters, and we talked a lot about that. And I wanted to touch real quick. I don't know how much time we got left here. I can't remember. But the thing is, I wanted to touch real quick on the trainer. You know, Roach being in Manny's corner, and Senior being in Floyd's corner. Do you think that without Roger, that this is? I'm not too keen on Floyd. Training and you know, I'm not a big Floyd fan, so I don't do a lot of all access when he fights. I just kind of watch his fights. We all know the relationship, you know, between Manny and Roach. It is very much father and son like. It is very much, you know, cohesive togetherness. And we all know the turmoil between the three-headed monster that is Floyd Jr., Sr., and Roger. Do you think that at all plays any kind of, I mean, Roach has been in the ring with multiple fighters against Floyd. And he's said on several occasions, Manny is the best fighter he's had in the ring against him. So do you think that this, you know, I know we're getting into the in-rings, but do you think that the trainer has any kind of impact on this fight? And whether it be Roach or whether it be Senior or, like I said, Roger, who will be, I don't know if he's in the corner or not, but, you know, he's always there. So I don't know the inner workings of those three when it pertains to Senior, Junior, and Roger, but what do you feel, if any, that the trainers might have in this fight?
The trash talking between the two is you know, it always sells the fight the most, and it's more or less the trainers. I mean, I could think back, four fights ago for Floyd Mayweather when Floyd fought Robert Guerrero, and Guerrero's father was talking so much trash that he'll knock Floyd Jr. out and knock Floyd Sr. out and try to go toe-to-toe with Senior. It was like, Jesus, we'd rather see the fathers fight. You know what I'm saying? And then now it's a situation where now you got Roach, who's actually lost to Floyd previously with his last hoorah right here, unless Floyd ends up fighting Cotto. If he does end up knocking, or not even as they say knockout, but end up winning the fight up against Pacquiao, and he tries to get him to fight Cotto again, Cotto would be his last shot. Because this is his last opportunity on his best chance of a boxer to take care of Floyd. And I think nothing would be sweeter to Freddie Roach to you know, train a guy up to be successful with everything that's going on in Freddie Roach's life. And it's sad to see what Freddie's going through right now, and he's continuing to train a guy like Manny. But at the end of the day, this is the biggest fight. And it ain't like Floyd, you know, is going to tell him Floyd's going to fight his best fight, Manny's going to fight his best fight, and that, you know, the best man wins. But at the end of the day, I think Freddie Roach is a little over the top too, you know, calling Floyd a sucker and talking junk to Floyd Sr. Do you think these guys are going to put hands on you and you're already disabled? Like, stop. Like, you as the end all should not be trying to call guys out. You should just be training Manny, you know, doing pad work or wearing that body gear, making sure Manny can get his routine in, and that's that. People put hands on you, hurt you, like, they can go to jail for hurting Freddie Roach, man, just because he's disabled, man. Just because he's disabled. I mean, a lot of people like Freddie Roach at the end of the day, so it's like, cut it out. But it's selling the fight. It is selling the fight because people want to see how these guys approach each other when they're in the ring, reffing between them, telling them this punch is low, that punch is low, and keep it clean and touch them up, and, you know, and let's get it on tight. Like, everybody's waiting for that and waiting for the stare down between Floyd Sr. and Freddie, or, you know, that's all what's in store for us for the next 6 days. Every little thing that's going to happen throughout this week is just going to be so hyped up, you know. Even the, and this is astronomical to me. Boxing weigh-ins, people, are free. Boxing weigh-ins are
not this.
For the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, it is $10 to go see these dudes step on a damn scale and tell you that they 147 and go home. And then they have the nerve to say, oh, all proceeds are going to a charity. What, Manny Pacquiao Foundation and Floyd Mayweather Foundation? Give me a break. They're going to put that right down their back and go to McDonald's with it. I don't know.
The Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, Bentley, and Bugatti, you know, Foundation.
Right.
That's all that's going through. Come on.
Right.
Made me giggle, too. $10? Come on.
Look, $10, this is here, step on the scale. Tell you that they both met the weight challenge at 147, and they can stand in each other's faces for 5 seconds, so every news, you know, media network can get their clips in. You're going to see them flash, like, for, like, 10 seconds. Then everybody gets dressed and go home. Like, stop. Stop. This is too much hype right now. I'm telling you, this is the biggest fight ever. And I'm sorry, Muhammad, and rest in peace, Joe Frazier. I'm sorry, all the Marciano fights or the Bronx Bomber with Joe Lewis. I'm sorry. Hagler, Leonard, Hearns, whoever y'all want to put in the discussion, this is it.
You're right, man. And I don't want people to confuse it with we're saying that these two are better than those, or they, you know, anything like that. But as it pertains to the enormity of this fight, there is nothing bigger. And you've said it many times. Half a billion. You can't say it more than that. Half a billion. You can say it half a billion times. Half a billion. That's what really makes this thing just really stick out to me more than anything else. Because that's what's really, we wanted this so bad, and we are willing to pay anything for it. And by we, I mean the fans. We are willing to pay anything for it, and we're paying damn near $500 million for this fight, and I love it, and I'm excited for it.
I mean, it's been repeated. I don't know what else to say after that.
we did touch a little on the future, and I did want to ask you. You touched on Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, whatever, Triple G. And we touched on the Cotto fight and things of that nature. I think Cotto does have a fight later in June, and so does Golovkin have one coming up here in May. So we might see that in December, Golovkin-Cotto, or like you said, a Golovkin war. After September comes, and we've seen, you know, quite possibly Floyd's last fight, and after this weekend, we might even see Manny's last fight. 147, and I know I went up to Triple G, but we're going to go down to 147 now. Danny Garcia, who's undefeated fighter fighting at 140, now wants to move up to 147. Do you think that he stands a chance, first of all? And I use the Golovkin segue to say that, you know, I think Garcia might end up being the bigger name, not Golovkin. But I think that just because of the way he, you know, got – the way he's winning fights, and people are going to be more inept to want to watch Garcia over Golovkin, even though Golovkin's going to be knocking people out left and right until the days are done. The way Garcia is, you know, quote-unquote, screwing people over, people want to watch that. You know, people want to watch the screw jobs. So I definitely think that him coming up to 147 is a leap for him. I think he could dominate 140 for the rest of his career. Do you agree with the move to come up to 147? And obviously with the Matisse's and the other people, or not the Matisse's, but the 147 class, who should he fight first moving up? And like I said, do you think this should be a wise move for him, or should he just stay down at 140 and dominate? Because I think he can.
I think he should stay down at 140 and dominate his weight class. But here's the interesting thing about that. If he moves to 147, that's where the money is, because Floyd is about to step out. Once Floyd leaves, it's going to be up for grabs. He's going to be the cast on welterweight because people like to see guys go toe-to-toe. So I think this is a danger zone situation for Danny. And Danny, I know we cool. You a friend of mine. We actually speak. This could be a danger zone for Danny because Danny's last fight up against Lamont Peterson, it didn't go down the way he wanted to. He won the fight, but a lot of people weren't impressed. I think he needs to get Peterson a rematch before he can consider going up and end up losing that zero, because there's some big guys that throw some punches, and clearly that's what Danny's waiting for, to land a bomb and keep it moving. If it doesn't go his way, then people watch out, because Danny Zero can go. But Danny, I'm pulling for you. You're my guy. I don't want to see it happen, but if you and your camp, you and your father Angel, feel like y'all can do it, then go ahead, man. Prove me wrong. I want to see it done.
You know, and to piggyback on you, I have to say the same thing. I don't think he should move up to 147. I don't know him personally and things like that, but I don't think he should. He needs to prove to me that he can beat the 140 class in the top echelon. I mean, the fight that the Peterson fight that he put up, it wasn't impressive to me. Like you said, I put out that I don't think he won the fight. So I don't know. You know, what their plan is, what their deal is. You know, like I said, he's got the zero at the end. So, you know, obviously, probably, and like you said, with the 147 weight class being empty by the end of September, most likely, they're going to need someone. And if he can come in and take on someone, I'm scared for him. When you've got the one time, when you've got the Porters, when you've got, you know, Sean Porters of the world out there, I don't know if he could, you know, really don't give much of a chance against one time. And again, Porter and those other named fighters. So I really do believe 140 is his. It's his to dominate. It's his to take over, in my opinion. Like I said, he's got to give Lamont another shot. And after that, I think he can handle that and beat him the way he should. So I have faith in Danny, but I just don't know if the 147 leap is, man, there's some hitters up there. Like you said, there are some guys with some bombs in 147. And if he can, and like you said, he's looking for that shot too. So all power to him. Like you said, if that camp feels like they're confident enough and they feel like this is the next step for them because they, you know, all intents and purposes have beaten everyone at 140, I get it. But I would just like to see him give, you know, a couple more shots at 140, and then try and see, give a couple more heavy handers at 140, see if he can withstand some big punches, maybe get someone from 147 to catch weight down there. See if he can, you know, survive. That's what I would do, in my opinion. But you know, that's just me. But I'm definitely a fan of Danny Garcia. Not necessarily the two fights that people say he didn't really win, but I'm a big fan of Danny's, and I'd like to see him succeed. So I don't really necessarily want him to move up to 147, but if he can do it and he can do what he's done at the 140, more power to him.
Well, like I said, he likes to throw bombs. Put him in there with somebody that's going to throw bombs right back with him, like Sean Porter. If he's ready to fight, that'll be that type of fight. And I think that'll be a money draw, too, especially with Porter trying to rebuild his situation after losing his last fight, too. So this will be something to see. If Sean can get back on his own, too, and take care of business to get back in there, and somebody has to stop either Thurman or Brooke within the welterweight division. So if Danny's going to put his name in the hat, then so be it.
Mm-hmm. And definitely. And back to touch on the Golovkin thing, I think you're right. He's going to be that guy on HBO once Klitschko takes off. He's going to be the man to be at that weight class. It's going to be, I believe he's in the 160s right now. He's he's just so dominant, man. He's got power in both hands. And the way he knocked out, not the last fight, the one before, it was over. He was an overhand straight. He was standing straight in front of the guy, and the guy had his guard up, and he just pretty much bopped him over the head. Pretty much it looked like he just reached on over and just hit him, and it was the end of the fight. So I don't know what you can do to stop Gennady. And after every fight, he doesn't care who it is. He wants
Ward.
That's the one I want to see.
I don't even see Cotto. And the crazy thing is Golovkin keeps begging for Cotto. Cotto has good defense, but he cuts easily. And once he starts losing blood in his face, it's always a bad fight for him. It's always bad for him. The one thing about Golovkin, and this is why I think I'm falling in love with his style too. One, he's trying to learn the English language. You know what I'm saying? Two, he's very likable, humble. And three, he throws bombs all fight. So it's like he's fighting up to the crowd, and then once he talks, he's not arrogant, and he's trying to learn the English language. So it's like it's cool that he's trying to be a part of the culture. And, you know, three, people are following his every move wherever he goes. So he's going to be the cash cow once Floyd steps away, once Klitschko steps away. If these guys don't end up fighting, whether it's Cotto or Ward, it's going to be Golovkin at the end of the day. And he's fairly young, too, so he has a couple of years in his tank to give it his all, too. So Golovkin's next. And like I said, once Floyd goes, that's going to be the next guy that I'll be following around. I'm following him now. But I think as heavy as I follow Floyd and him being one of my favorites in the sport, the favorite of mine in the sport, Golovkin will replace him once September comes around, in my eyes.
And that's how I feel, too. But the thing with Triple G is I think he wants Cotto for the belts, and then Ward will have nowhere else to go but Triple G. And I think that's what the plan is. Because if I'm not mistaken, Cotto's the lineal champion. So if he can get the lineal champion, and then Ward's got nowhere else to go but Triple G, and then there's no running from that fight anymore. So I think that's what Gennady's trying to do, and that's to make Triple G the only fight for Ward. I can dig it. Like you said, with Cotto, it's going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be bad. With Ward, it'll be an amazing fight. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And to touch on the Cotto situation, you did mention Cotto fighting Floyd again. And this may sound crazy or whatever. With Freddie Roach in his corner, and I want to say this as clear as possible, at 154, I give Miguel Cotto a better chance to beat Floyd Mayweather than Manny Pacquiao at 147 with Freddie Roach in his corner. The Sergio Martinez fight proved to me that Miguel Cotto is a changed fighter, and Freddie Roach has everything to do with it. So I think that with Floyd in September, if he can handle Manny, get past Manny, undecisive, you know, not close, just end all be all of that fight, I think Cotto will be the September fight. And I don't know if Floyd wants to fight at 154. It's been a while since he stepped up to 154. He's been fighting at 147, I believe. So I don't know if he wants to make that step up, but if he does and fights Cotto at 154, I give Cotto a better chance than Manny at 147, and I give that all to Freddie Roach. And then another, you know, kind of snippet and kind of toss out there, and you know what have you, the leg injury to Sergio Martinez really hurt this sport in my opinion, because I think Sergio Martinez right now, I think with a 100% healthy leg, could have beaten Cotto. And we could be looking at maybe a Triple G Martinez, Martinez Ward, Sergio Martinez with that hurt leg. It really hurt the sport because I think he's the one guy, in my opinion, that was really starting to take off and was really going to start, you know, making that name for him and going to just fight everyone in his path. So Sergio Martinez, I wish him all the best. And I don't know if he's coming back or not. I know the leg injury's bad that he had in the Cotto fight, but Sergio Martinez to put out there, I would definitely take him. Over most of these 160 fighters, and I hate to say this, but almost including Triple G, Martinez was just amazing to me, and I really fell in love with his fight. And you know, you can talk about the Williams 2 knockout, but the Williams 1 robbery, I really enjoyed watching that whole entire fight. Like I said, just getting on tangents here, getting some opinions out, but I really do think Sergio Martinez was really not necessarily hurt the sport because you can't really, see an injury like that coming or anything like that. So he didn't really hurt the sport in essence, but I think it hurt it in a little bit of a fashion, him not being here, because I think he's the type of guy that won't shy away from a fighter, and he would take on all comers, and it would make the sport interesting because people would have to fight everyone. So I think he would have been a catalyst in this weight class at 160, fighting other people and making them kind of fight each other. Right now we've got, like I said, Ward and Cotto and Triple G kind of just like playing a chess match of sorts, trying to see who's going to fight who. I think Martinez would have came in, fought all three, if not as much as he could, try to fight all three and do what he could, and that would have made those guys just end up fighting each other. But, you know, that's enough me ranting on Sergio, but I'm just one of the biggest Sergio fans. I loved him, and I'm sad to see his leg injury.
His looping right saved him. His looping right saved him. But I think if they were to get that fight set with Golovkin, I think Golovkin would terrorize that boy. I think Golovkin would terrorize him. Golovkin goes through barrages of punches, and he throws everything he wants. He don't even care if you're guarded there. He throws it. He throws it. With so much confidence, I'm in love with Gennady. I can't even front to you. It's Floyd and Gennady. I can care less about Danny, too. I got to put Danny because I talk to Danny. So it's between the three of them that do this thing. All three of them are unbeaten and been taking care of business up until this point. And Golovkin, I don't care which country you're from. I guess I got to learn your language so we can speak on a regular basis, man. But I'm a Golovkin fan. And I'm a Ward fan. I love boxing, man. I'm a Ward fan, too. I definitely want to see Ward and Golovkin fight. If they do, I don't care who wins. I'm just getting my popcorn ready, Sports City. I'm going to get popcorn ready.
Everybody better get their popcorn ready for that, because that one's going to be a – and I hate to – you coin the Jim Ross stuff. That's going to be a slobber knocker. Someone's going to be, stomping a mud hole and walking it dry, so to speak. It's just going to be – a hell of a fight, and I think that would be amazing. I mean, Golovkin and Ward, it would be so cool to watch them two go at it, especially with Ward, as much as people think that Ward's the best right now, even though he hasn't fought in such a long time. So I definitely am excited to see what Ward comes up with next, and Golovkin coming up here in the next couple of weeks, and then, like I said, Canelo, Kirkland. We got some really interesting things after May 2nd, so I'm just really excited, man. Like I said, you love boxing, I love boxing, we're just excited about it, And like I said, for all the love I was giving Martinez, Triple G's my guy. I can't bet against him. I think Martinez would have given him a hell of a shot, 100%. But you're right, Triple G's just another monster. The power in both hands, to me, is what's amazing. Because I can't recall the fighter, but he said he felt like it was the same hand hitting him on both sides. The power was identical, it seems like, to him, and it was the same amount. It was just to be able to do that with both hands. And like you said, to just throw and not give a crap about what you're doing. Like, you can do whatever you want, man. You can put up a brick wall in front of you. I'm still going to throw, and I'm still going to land, and you're still going to get knocked out. That's Triple G in a nutshell, and it's just amazing to watch him play. So I am excited to watch whatever Triple G does next, too, because he needs to start making, some big-name fights. He needs to start getting that big name. But I think you're right. Once the Klitschko's and the Floyds, go on to the so much greener pastures, we will see Gennady on the front runner of pay-per-views. And like you said, his charisma, after the fight, when he's talking, you just fall in love with the guy. He's like, I just wanted to beat him up. I just wanted to, what did you do to this fight? Or, like, I don't know, I just wanted to punch him. Who do you want next? I don't care. Just give me somebody. I want Cotto. I want whoever. Just give me somebody. And you just love him because he's learning the language and he's learning how to talk shit in the language, but it's just not as, because he's still learning, it doesn't feel like he's talking shit. He's talking stuff, but he does definitely, he does, if you can pay attention, I know you do, he's kind of grinding some axes, and it's just because his language isn't, the English language isn't, he's not dead on it yet. But once he is, he's going to have one of those mouths, and I'm going to love listening to him talk, especially because he's going to be knocking everyone out, and he's just going to be, once his English gets to, not perfect, but once his English gets to that level where it needs to be, we're gonna end up, want to watch him after matches just to see what he says more than, watch him knock out guys. But, that's enough ranting on Golovkin, how much I love the guy and how great he is. Like you said, man, he's going to come at you and he's going to knock you out, and there's nothing really you can do about it.
Hopefully Floyd gets that taken care of, and then they'll put him under the Mayweather promotion and keep that cash in his pocket, because I know Floyd don't want to stop seeing that boxing money, that's for sure. That's for sure. Man.
Definitely.
Okay, well,
I definitely
we
want to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go. You got another dish?
Not another dish. I was just going to, you know... I really just wanted to see, Gage, you know, we did kind of touch on it a couple of times, and this should be a real quick answer. I guess you can give me a yes or no. $3 million. Does it beat it or does it not? Yes or no, quick. And that's pay-per-view buys for the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao.
It beats it. And I think it'll go over $3 million. I don't know if it goes past four. I think it'll be in between $3 million, though, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of fight parties across the globe, yeah, and I think they'll go over $3 million, and that's $300 million altogether. I can't believe I'm saying that off of pay-per-view buys. That's crazy.
$300 million off of pay-per-view buys, and you're right, and I do think it goes over $3 million too. I did have the negativity when we were talking about it last time, thinking that $100 is too much, and with Pat talking about, you know, how the casual doesn't want to watch it, and I did kind of put some thought into that, but I think this is just too big. And like you said, the biggest fight ever. And people realize that. And like you said, we've all said for the past few years, we want this fight. And I think that for the mass enormous people, and I'll make this quick, for the mass enormous people that say they don't want to watch it or they don't care about it or they don't whatever, that's just, for me, you know, posturing. That's just not wanting to give in to the fact that you know you want to watch Floyd Money Mayweather regardless of who he's fighting. And I think Pacquiao, as much as, you know, a draw as he is and as much as a big guy as he is, everyone wants to see Floyd lose. And you may want to see Manny win. You may be a Manny Pacquiao fan. You may have fought with him his entire career. And I think maybe with the exception of probably a handful of Filipinos, everyone wants to see Floyd Mayweather lose. Everyone. And unless you're, you know, TMT head to toe, you want to see Floyd Mayweather lose, and that's what this fight's about, and that's what makes it amazing. So I think it does beat $3 million. I know it's getting two, at least for my household. So it's gonna be an amazing fight experience. But $3 million, I think it shatters that. And we're like you said, we're talking about $500 million here, and it's gonna be awesome for them at least.
Fair enough. I mean, I can't even talk about how many people. The way I projected it, even if, you know, a million people per state bought it, which I doubt it'll go down like that, I mean, it is astronomical how that number looks. And this is just off of one portion of how this payout should go, man. I don't even want to talk about the schematics of how these guys get paid out until this is all over, said, and done with, because we're speculating, you know, more or less than, you know, what we get to talk about on you know, point A, point B on what these guys need to do tactically in the ring. So, like I said, this is the biggest fight that we've ever heard of, ever seen. However you want to speculate it, this is it. This is it. 6 days in counting, people.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show, people. We gave you enough, man. I actually extended it for us twice so we could get you out there in the chat room or people listening live or checking us on the download after this show airs, man. We did it for y'all, man. This is the premier show of us getting together, man. We gave y'all 90-plus minutes of work. So y'all stay focused. We'll have something for y'all on Saturday, but we'll be back here at Sports City. Nacho, anything that you'd like to plug, promote, close out with before we shut down the food fight on an epic episode on the premiere here in Sports City?
You know, we spent this entire 90 minutes talking about basketball or talking about boxing, and I want to take 2 minutes to talk about basketball. The Wizards have swept the Raptors, and I'm just, you know, I'm at a loss. I thought that series was you know, going to go back and forth. I didn't realize that the Wizards would take a command like they did. So other than that, you know, I just want to congratulate the Washington Wizards making it to the next round, beating the Toronto Raptors, the Toronto Drakes. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, like I said, like we were talking about on Thursday, it's going to be an amazing second round. But as it pertains to the boxing, what we've been talking about for the last 90 minutes, be prepared. Be ready. I know the undercard is not going to be great, and I know we're paying $100 for it. But watch it anyway. You might end up falling in love with the boxer you didn't think about falling in love with. And that's the point of these undercards, I think, with Mayweather, with the exception of the last two. I think he wants to get some names out there. Lomachenko's fighting, who's probably the only big name that I think most people might know, and he's not even a big name. So the undercard, give it a chance. Just don't poo-poo it just because you don't know who the boxers are and things like that. The undercard for this match, if you're paying $100, just don't pay $100 for 36 minutes. Pay $100 for the whole thing. Watch everything. Enjoy it. And like I said, like we said, this is the first of many to come. I'm excited because not only after this and next Saturday when we got it, I'm going to touch on Gennady Golovkin. I know you will. His fight coming up, that's going to be awesome to talk about too. So thank you so much for bringing the show back up with me and doing everything, you know, setting it up and getting it back and talking boxing with me, man. I enjoy it so much, and this is a sport we love.
Oh, we'll be back here for sure, Sports City. We ain't going nowhere. We got 6 days until we back at it, man, to get the hype up. Because Saturday, I think I'm going to be out of my skin. There's no longer to await it, man. I remember when it was going down in February, March, where they said it was going to happen. It happened, and now we're basically on the doorstep of May. We're right here, man. So no longer to wait. There's just more talk about it, and we'll stop talking about it about 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Saturday evening. So get ready. In the words of Michael Buffer, let them get ready to rumble. SportCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here tomorrow, Monday Night Sport, wrapping this thing up. Just like he said, Nacho actually got something right. He called the Wizards in this series, so they took that. That's why he brought that up on a boxing show, people. He did that on purpose because he had to take his punches earlier today in the brunch, so he got his little dinner plate in Sports City, and he's feeling good with that good old food for thought. Y'all can do his dishes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, Food Fight, round one is done. Now you know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I kick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present, never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, rap guns, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Q-Auto, Mattos, used to call me Fatso, now you call me Castro. My rap flows, militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Cristal keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, Holmes, you in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone, hold hands and say it like me. The most shady, Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic. Try to make dough, like Jurassic. Park in, pick the spark kids who start shit. Only me, the underboss of this holocaust, truly yours, right, right.
I got the real live shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at?
Put money on the table and get your math on. Break it down, split it up, get your laugh on. See you later, dog, I'ma get my stash on. There's a bag full of money that I get my ass on. I never lose the passion to go platinum. said I live it up to all the cast on. Ain't that funny? Only use plastic, drafted to make plastic, hotter than acid. PG, blowing on your tape of CD. The billboard killer, no scene killer. The famo, ammo, and every channel. We've been hot for a long time, burning like a candle. What you can do is check your distribution. My song bumping Houston like Starbucks producer. You ain't got it like me, you just mad cause I tell her how it is.
We got this shit mapped tight, brass knuckles and flashlights. The heaters and the two seaters with two meters. Senoritas, kiss rings when you meet us. P. Diddy run the city, show no pity. I'm the witty one, Frank the crook from the brook. Maddie broke the neck of your coconut. No respect, squeeze off to all y'all diminished. Shootouts for 20 minutes until we finish. Then it's to the loop, escape in the coupe, break bread with the kiss. Panero, chic loose, Black Rob join the mob. It ain't no replacing him, niggas. Step up, we just mason them, placing them in funerals. Criminals turn the vows to Brick City. Nobody come off like P. Diddy. Business wise, I play men. Hide money on the island, Cayman. Y'all just betray men, we spray men. Opposition, competition of a day in the life of the commission.
We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live. Where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real life shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real life shit.
What the
fuck y'all niggas wanna do?
It's all fucked up now. What I'ma do now?
They got me staring at the world through my rear view. Go ahead, baby, scream to God. He can help you with your problems. Thug brothers, why won't we come through? They can relate to chefs. You can help them with their problems. Turn this up. What's your problem? Sports City, that's all I got. I'm gone.